Welcome to the Osmo Slate Starter Podcast as we get ready to look at Thursday's NBA slate. Six games for November 18th. Reminder to self, mom's birthday is Friday, November 19th. Mental note. With that, I want to welcome in Pete the Heat Rogers. Pete, what's going on here? You're becoming a regular on this show, and then suddenly we're going to up and disappear again.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. I truly appreciate it. I enjoy doing this content for Osmo. It's been great. It's been a great experience.
Excellent. Well, tonight we've got a six-game slate. So you've kind of ended up on a couple of the shorter slates. Gundacker got saddled with an 11-gamer yesterday. You had the 11-gamer for Monday.
Yep.
So we've this is the wheelhouse that we want. The six games. Pretty good size slate. Enough moving parts. There's enough teams on back to backs and enough teams harboring injuries that there'll be plenty of news, plenty of value. Friday we have a 9-gamer. Saturday we have looks like an 8-gamer. There's a 5 o'clock game that won't be on the main slate. And then Sunday, I don't know what the slates will do. There is a game at 6, and then 2 at 8, and 1 at 8:30. I'm guessing whatever DraftKings does, FanDuel will do something entirely different. That's the only constant. My suspicion is that DraftKings will include that 6 o'clock slate and get everything off and running, so people are focused on Sunday Night Football, which will lock at 8:20, and that'll give them time to maneuver lineups just before and then just after that. So that would be my guess. And then Monday, we're back to another Gigantor slate here, 100 or 110. I'm working. In multiples of 10 today. So let's take a quick peek here. We've got a few teams on the back-to-back. Washington and Miami play each other. They are both playing tonight as we are recording this. We, of course, record the night before. We have Cleveland, who is on a back-to-back, and Minnesota, also on a back-to-back, and their games are going on as well. Important injury news, Bradley Beal back from the bereavement list. He is playing just fine. On Wednesday, he should be a full go on Thursday. No issues there. We'll have to see what is up with Spencer Dinwiddie. They've talked about not necessarily wanting to push him on back-to-backs. However, looking at that game that's going on right now, I don't think he has any points at all in the first half. Maybe he gets in-game rest. Maybe they let him play this one and sit him on the next one. But after he missed the entire last season, they're going to keep an eye on his first couple back-to-backs. Miami, always a source of news. Kyle Lowry was out tonight. Bam Adebayo was out tonight. Jimmy Butler played after missing three games. Dwayne Dedman was also in the starting lineup. We'll have to see what happens if Bam comes back from his knee injury. We should potentially see Lowry. I don't think no reason to rest him on back-to-back games. And then Cleveland, an absolute mess. They're missing everybody with Lauri Markkanen and Jarrett Allen and Colin Sexton. Those are their key players. But we're going to jump to point guard here real quick, because you want to break down the news of Steph Curry, because Steph Curry has a hip injury. He's going against Cleveland, who is on the back-to-back with the rest of his team. We do not have spreads out for any of these. We have spreads out for one game so far, two games. It's the Clippers at Memphis and San Antonio at Minnesota. We don't have the others yet because most of those teams are involved in games or they have question marks here. Talk to us about Steph Curry. What is your theory here? What is your suspicion?
So I absolutely love Steph Curry if he's playing. Obviously, he has a hip contusion and coming off an absolutely incredible performance the other night against Brooklyn. I don't really see any reason to push him. They might give him a Veterans Day off because they're facing a banged up Cleveland team. And I think Cleveland's going to have a very, very difficult time with Golden State. Golden State is arguably the best team in the league right now. They look absolutely incredible. So I feel like Steph Curry could get the day off. And if he does, this will probably be the most important news on the entire slate, because there are some very, very interesting pieces that we can get to. Obviously, Jordan Poole becomes a necessity. You start looking at the backups with a little bit more intrigue, like Gary Payton. Steph Curry, if he's in there, I feel like he's going to just do enough, but he may not have to really provide too much of an offensive explosion to really pay off that high salary tag. So I'm probably going to go elsewhere just because I feel like there's going to be much more competitive games, and in competitive, game environments, I definitely want to target some of the studs like a Ja Morant at 10,000. I just think is, an absolutely amazing play, of course, facing the Clippers, who are somewhat banged up as well. I think it could be a showcase between Paul George and John Morant going back and forth. So I like, you know, going down a little bit. I'll obviously get to some Golden State Warriors pieces for value plays, but Jordan Poole will definitely become a necessity for me. Underneath John Morant, we have DeJounte Murray at 9.8. The other night, he was amazing. And if you had the same dilemma that I did, it was rostering too much Kevin Durant and not having enough DeJounte Murray, because my lineups were great, except I had a lot of KD. And if I could have just, you know, orchestrated my lineups just a little bit different so I could have DeJounte Murray. Obviously, that's the way the cookie crumbles. That's how it happens. But yeah, DeJounte Murray was absolutely incredible the other night. And he's evolved into a phenomenal player this year. Back-to-back 60-point performances, 61.5 against the Lakers, 60.5 against the Clippers. I mean, 26 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists. You speak of it all the time of how he flirts with a triple-double. And that was evidenced, you know, the other night. I was watching the game while I was playing Call of Duty, and I'm like, oh my goodness, like, he's just doing everything out there. Donovan Mitchell, relatively disappointing in his previous performance, but that was largely due to the blowout. Philly was basically not competitive at all, and that, you know, really affected Donovan Mitchell's performance. Only scored 25.75 points. If people are box score watching and they're just really harping on that negative performance, we could get Donovan Mitchell in a relatively competitive game against Toronto, especially with Fred VanVleet back. I just like that. Going back to the Donovan Mitchell, well, I like him. And obviously your boy, Fred VanVleet. Again, he's probably going to have to step up because I know that OG Anunoby is questionable going into this. And Fred VanVleet, anytime that he's needed to step up offensively, he can definitely provide for the team.
Yep, absolutely. Just hitting on some of that Utah news you mentioned, OG Anunoby questionable, as is Precious Achiuwa and Chris Boucher. So, but the name you don't see there is Pascal Siakam. So as long as Siakam's there, he'll help carry the load with VanVleet. The defenses can't really load up on one or the other. Hopefully they'll continue to tread water around that 500 mark, but they are almost double-digit favorites going into Utah there. You mentioned Fred Van Elite. Oh, I did. It's the Fred Van Elite fan club. It is posted out there. We run these on DK, but if you go to my pinned tweet or look at my timeline, you'll be able to find it. You join that little DK league, you'll be alerted when I post those, or I always put them out on my timeline. Anytime he's got a game on the main slate, we'll create a contest for them. 75 is the magic number we're running with that right now. It's just a buck, top 15 paid, 10% rake, because, hey, it's a user-created contest. And then the bonus, this is the kicker, I am adding $90 value into the pot, because I will give anybody who wins the contest with an Osmo avatar 30 free days of all access Osmo premium content. If you end up winning and you have that avatar, just shoot me a note either on Twitter or on, if you're already a member, on Slack in the Discord chat, and I'll get you a coupon code that'll get you 30 free days of Osmo premium content. It's a nice way to get in there. You can also rep the Osmo avatar and get that. If you get a top three in any contest with at least 5,000 players, entry fee doesn't matter, but it needs to be 5,000 players. Finish first, second, or third. No ties. Got to be a top three score. We'll get you 30 free days of Osmo premium content for that one. You got to send a screenshot of your win with the Osmo avatar visible to Osmo_COM or Osmo Hall of Fame. And most likely you will get featured on an upcoming Osmo Hall of Fame segment. All right, let's move a little bit down the pricing list here. Of course, we got a lot of news, a lot of moving parts. We'll have to find out, you know, hopefully nothing befalls Ricky Rubio or Darius Garland as they are playing right now. Same thing with Tyler Herro, but they're in sort of our mid-tier pricing. You've got Reggie Jackson, who has been up and down, but he does have 40 fantasy point upside. That salary is starting to come up. You mentioned Jordan Poole being an interesting play at 6,000. Probably a stay away unless we get news that Curry's out, but at 7:30, that is the lock tomorrow, by the way. 7:30 is the first game, so we would know right off the bat what's going on there. And then as we continue down the list, you've got Monte Morris, who's had some moments lately. A few people dinged up in Denver. You've got Michael Porter Jr. Obviously, Jamal Murray is out for a while, but he has stepped in nicely. Now, he's always a rotation player. He almost assuredly gets 20 25 to 28 minutes a game. However, it all depends on how his shot is going, and his shot has been falling recently, which makes him look a little bit better. What do you like on the mid-tier or as we get down? Any discount dandy standing out in the absence of or with any of the news we have right now? We don't need to play the guessing game on anything.
Right. Yeah, so I'm so happy that you brought up Monte Morris, because Monte Morris here at 4,700, definitely a valuable piece for the slate, especially because Will Barton is doubtful heading into Thursday's game. So you talk about Denver, who's really needing another player to step up in addition to Jokic. Jokic can do everything on the court, but he shouldn't have to, and every single time, you know what I mean? Like, Paul George is basically in the same problem that Jokic is, where sometimes the ancillary parts are just not contributing enough. But Monte Morris has definitely done, he stepped up in the past two performances. Against Portland, he scored 36 and a quarter points, 24, that was in 24 minutes. And just recently against Dallas in 37 minutes, scored 35 fantasy points. So I really like him here. Obviously, if Steph Curry is out, that's what we'll be targeting the Golden State value. But if, for say, he's in, I really like just going right to Monte Morris here at 4,700. He makes a ton of sense. And, you know, I think that it makes a ton of sense given how banged up Philly is. I mean, we have numerous banged up teams at this point, and we're really not even too far along into the season. So take advantage of these teams that are basically running skeleton units. And I think that Monte Morris can come through for us at 4,700.
All right. Looking over at Yahoo real quick, we've got Patrick Beverley down there at $14. His hot start with the new team has sort of fizzled out just a little bit. Should be no surprise. He's 33 years old. Games are starting to catch up to him. He'll be a reasonable player, but someone that is now going to become a little more variant or mercurial. Gary Payton is at 11. The Mitten, a.k.a. Gary Payton II. If he comes in, he's probably good for somewhere. If Curry is out, he can flirt with 30 fantasy points. If Curry is in but doesn't play the whole game, or they just do enough to win, Payton can disappoint. He's someone that needs garbage time to get there. He can generally, much like his dad, rack up the steals, but he's entirely steal and scoring based. And he's, I don't know why they list him as point guard, because he's, I mean, you've seen him play enough. He doesn't really seem like a point guard, right? Doesn't he seem like more a fire hydrant or something? Yeah. He doesn't seem like the classical point guard.
He's a role player when he's on the court for sure. And yeah. It's not like he's running point really. He's kind of contributing in different areas. I do think that I will be treating it like Steph is sitting or Steph won't be needed really. So Gary Payton is definitely intriguing. And even the other night, you see him be productive in limited minutes. 16 minutes against Brooklyn, scored 17 and a quarter fantasy points. The game before that against Charlotte, 15 minutes, 19 and a quarter fantasy points. If he's needed and Steph's out, or they're just kind of running their second unit constantly, imagine if he gets 25 minutes. I think that he has a pretty high ceiling if he gets more minutes. So he's definitely intriguing. And on this bottom of the barrel, there's nobody that can really compare right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was just looking at his historical numbers. So he actually was listed as a small forward his second year with Washington. He did make 17 starts that year for that decimated squad. He has 23 total starts in his career. He's played six seasons or parts of six seasons, beginning with the 2016 season. He's done some in the G League, but he has 85 total games here. Nothing overly exciting, but it is a value play, and it is in a good matchup. So this would be the one of the times we'd start to look for someone like him. And then the other, let's see, Monte Morris, 18 there, 24 for Ricky Rubio. Last guy I want to talk about, and we kind of will transition to shooting guard with this one, D'Angelo Russell here. Mm-hmm. What should we be expecting from him? He's been seeing low 30s in the minutes, but he's been 35 fantasy points or higher in four of his last five.
Yeah, I mean, I like D'Angelo Russell. Obviously, a former Net. I like getting to him. I have a little bias. I like it when he's aggressive. It's just hard to really put your finger on which Timberwolf is going to go off. It seems like, you know, D'Angelo and Anthony Edwards kind of alternate strong performances. It's just a matter of getting the matchup correct or getting the minutes correct. I don't have a problem getting to either one of these players, honestly. I kind of view them almost like a 1A, 1B with Anthony Edwards slightly ahead of D'Angelo Russell. But I get what you're saying. I do like D'Angelo Russell. It's a solid player for this position, definitely. And I think the shooting guard position's relatively strong. We can basically roster a point guard slash shooting guard here. You got numerous players that basically fit that. I'd want to leave Paul George out of conversation because I really feel like small forwards extremely slim and pretty ugly, to be honest, where I think that we could just put him in the small forward position and move on from that position. You have Jimmy Butler there, but the shooting guard position is loaded with tons of talent. Donovan Mitchell, we talked about. Fred Van Elite, the Elite Fan Club, whatever you call it. Edwards and Russell, I love it. Outside of that top end, Jordan Poole's in the mid-range at 6,000. I have plenty of interest there. The bottom half starts to get a little ugly, and it will definitely be news-dependent because I know that the Clippers are banged up. We have mentioned it. Terrence Mann could possibly sit. He's questionable for Thursday's matchup against Memphis. If he's out, you have Nick Batum listed as doubtful. I would imagine that Luke Kennard starts to garner some more minutes in order to step up for this offense. But with all that being said, I just think that it makes it more interesting for guys like Reggie Jackson. But number one overall, it's going to be Paul George. Paul George is just going to take the reins of the offense even more. So, you know, Luke Kennard at 4,400 makes a ton of sense for me as a cheap play at shooting guard as well.
Yeah, that's a good point to talk about just the Clippers injury news. So they're lacking a ton of depth. Marcus Moore is still out with his knee issue. Terrence Mann missed the last game. You have Serge Ibaka, who was back, but he's out now. And then you've got Justice Winslow away from the team for personal reasons. And then as far as depth goes, you have Keon Johnson, but he's not going to play either ankle or a knee injury. So all of a sudden, you're going to be getting, especially with if Batum is out, you're going to be getting some of these deeper rotation guys. And I think that's could be a nice little way to go. It's also something to look at because that game starts in the second wave at 8 o'clock tomorrow, so after the 7:30 start. So we may not know exactly who's going to be starting there or who's available. So that could be the source of a little bit of differentiation if other gamers are banking on, you know, Philadelphia cheap value in the later game and they're not going to tweak their lineups, or looking for some Toronto value if we get more news there and they're not going to tweak their lineups. This is where, well, it's not the late game late swap. It's adjusting after lock, which is when we say late swap. It's anything after lock necessarily. Other gamers aren't necessarily doing that. I just used necessarily twice in the same sentence. That was simply not necessary. Let's get back here to the two guards. Going down to the bottom, we get to a bunch of combo guards, but you got Jordan Clarkson, you got Eric Bledsoe. Those guys are all fine. Seth Curry, his prices come back down on DK. Of course, he's going to be heavily scoring dependent, but now he's at 4,900. That's worthy of consideration. Furkan Korkmaz, everything I said about Steph Curry, just lather, rinse, repeat. It's going to be there with him. Sorry, Seth Curry, not Steph Curry. And let's see, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, what's he been up to lately? Couple big games, although that was without Bradley Beal. I don't think we can count on those. Anything else at shooting guard, or shall we hit small forward here?
Yeah, I mean, not really down here. I still think that a player like Lonnie Walker is just pretty cheap. I know that he hasn't come through lately. He's kind of been struggling from the field, 2 of 10, 1 of 5, 3 of 11 in his past three games. And he basically has suffered in the minutes department because of his performance. But it didn't give you a night against the Timberwolves. It's a solid matchup where, you know, I think there's going to be some good offensive production. You could have a guy who's coming off the second unit able to, you know, score for them. Lonnie Walker, definitely worth consideration at that price tag.
All right. Let's go over here to small forward here. Is this where Dylan Brooks is hiding out?
Yes.
Honest. There he is. 6,000 on DK. I know you've got some thoughts on him. You sort of hit on Paul George. Yeah, between those two, nothing overly exciting. We do have Jimmy Butler a little dinged up on a back-to-back. We'll see. You've got Anthony Edwards also on a back-to-back, 7,700. We'll see. Barnes, Scotty, interesting.
Yes.
The early season magic gone down a little bit, but they're going to need his size out there with the larger Utah front court. So I think he should be okay. Andrew Wiggins should be okay if Steph is out. That's additional field goal attempts for him, so we like that. There's a lot of if-thens going on right here with the small forward. Is Dylan Brooks a steady play? Do we need to not put any caveats on him?
I don't mind Dylan Brooks. I always like getting to him. Obviously, he's scoring dependent as well. But in his most recent game against Houston, they, you know, the strong starters weren't really needed in that because it was a blowout. I mean, they ended up winning 136-102. He only played 23 minutes, had 14 field goal attempts, went 6 of 14, scored 26.5 fantasy points in 23 minutes. So his shot is just incredible. Coming off the injury, we do have him at a price discount. Was previously 7,100, 6,900, and 6,500. Now the flat 6,000. I like him here in a competitive game. He's going to be needed and relied upon in order to keep up with Paul George. Paul George will have to keep up with John Morant, and John Morant will have to keep up with Paul George. But some other players will have to step up. And I do think that a player in Dylan Brooks is definitely one of them. Paul George at the top, easily my favorite. And I think that we can basically pencil him in for most of my lineups in the small forward position. It's kind of a no-brainer. And I've read your articles all year, how you talk about Paul George. I actually got to watch Paul George last night, and I was just absolutely so impressed with him. He's extremely aggressive. Obviously, he is a little greedy on the offensive attack, but in order to lead the team to victory, he needs to step up and do what superstars do. And that's what he's been doing. So the 11,000 price tag is definitely warranted. Obviously, it's a big step up in his salary, where he was previously around the mid tens, and then just recently 10-2, which was a bargain. So 11,000 might scare several people away, but in a competitive game, Paul George, with all these injuries that we spoke of, with possibly Terrence Mann, Batum's doubtful, you got no Marcus Morris, you don't really have any other offensive contributors outside of Reggie Jackson, Eric Bledsoe, and Kennard off the second unit. So yeah, Paul George, easily my favorite option here. It's a heavy price tag, but I love him. The in-between, like you mentioned, is why I was kind of like, it's a bunch of head scratchers, right? Like, I don't know if I really want to get to it. Jimmy Butler always looks amazing, but he's coming off of an injury. And also just like, I don't know, will he really be needed and relied upon? Well, that'll largely depend on if Lowry's in, if Bam Adebayo's in. I would imagine that they will be fully healthy going into this matchup. I do think that the Scotty Barnes call is interesting, and that's because of OG Anunoby being questionable. I just think that his big body, like you mentioned, he's able to contribute in different areas, not really known for, you know, being a strong shooter, but he has had some relative success in the NBA early on in his season. And I think that he can somewhat replicate that when they have a diminished team. So possibly the OG Anunoby, you know, news could end up boosting Scotty Barnes in my lineups, but man, small forward seems like Paul George and everybody else.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, you can just see though Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam say, "Hey, rookie, you need to rebound for us tonight." Yeah, hey.
But I think that he like welcomes that, right? Like he's like, "Okay, like I'll play my role." And I think that his shooting caught everybody by surprise. And I mean, he hasn't been terrible. He's really actually been pretty solid. Obviously, I wish that he was a little bit cheaper, but 6,700 for a player with more boosted usage. If OG Anunoby's out, sign me up. I'm cool with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then wrapping up at the bottom here, some of our discount guys over on Yahoo. You have Luke Kennard at 11. Yep. That's solid. You have Devin Vassell. We didn't mention him, but at 11, he's just fine. Some of the sites will have him as power forward. He had a bit of a dud in his last game, but he's actually a decent rebounder. It sort of ebbs and flows, but we have seen him have multiple in the mid-teens or higher. Then we get other games where he has three, but we know he does have the potential for an upside. And then you got a couple Memphis guys here, Desmond Bane at 14, Slow-Mo, Kyle Anderson at 16. Those are sort of your guys. You mentioned one. I'm flattered that you read my articles. I appreciate that. That's the DFS Building Blocks article. It's free every day. In front of the paywall, I usually do a Yahoo Player of the Day, and I have a Yahoo Discount Dandy section, but that is because they are also co-hosting it on their website, so we're getting the Osmo name out there. Now, they do allow us to talk about DraftKings and FanDuel, and most of the plays I put out there are core plays, so better plays will appear because value will show up. But right. the guys I'm listing will be good plays essentially no matter what, which is why we call them your core plays. And that's where you can look to, oh, wow, I can really go stars and scrubs now. This article's obsolete. Oh, wait, no, it's not, because that's where the masses are now going for stars and scrubs. Maybe we get the second or third best play projected wise at the position, but there's nothing that would hold them back from being the best play on any given night. But Paul George, man, he has played on here's the days that they have played. So they've won 8 of their last 9, but starting at the beginning of this month, am I on the right page here? So starting, last week and a half ago, Sunday. So Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, and now again on Thursday. Those are all the short slate days. He's generally standing out because the pricing, right. especially on Yahoo, has not caught up with him. He's averaging a career high fantasy points per minute. The only thing he's really not hitting on a career high is minutes, which he had a couple seasons back when he was with Indiana, where he was higher on that. But pretty much everything else is a career high. Now, he's had a couple of not even really rough games, but he was coming off a stretch where he had scored like 50 fantasy points in 8 of 10 or something crazy like that. He's been in the 40s ever since. But if they keep winning, why ride him into the ground, especially if they've won some of these games sort of handily? They're going to need him all season. Oh, he's someone we know that needs those rest days. So let's get some in-game rest for him. Enjoy the fact that I think they've only had one or maybe two back-to-backs, which is another quirk I heard on one of the telecasts. I can just eyeball it. So Saturday and Sunday was a back-to-back for them. But prior to that, that was actually their only back-to-back of the season thus far. So he's gotten the built-in rest days there. I expect we see him, you know, they play tomorrow, they play Friday, they play Sunday, Tuesday, Friday, Sunday, Monday. There's a couple more back-to-backs coming up in the next 10 days. There's 2 of them. So I could see him maybe getting a night off one of those, but play him while you can. And while we're talking about Yahoo, let's remind everybody that if you go to the link in the podcast description here, if you're listening to podcasts, or if you go on the YouTube channel just below the video, you will see the link. If you go and click that link, if you're not yet a member of Yahoo, if you don't have a Yahoo DFS account, you can have a Yahoo Fantasy account. Just if you haven't made a DFS deposit, come in through that link, set it up. When you make your first deposit, Yahoo's going to ask that you put in $10. They're going to match you with $10. And then as soon as you play your first contest, if you've come in on our link, they will send us an email and say, hey, you know, this user just came in on your link. They meet the criteria. We're going to send you a coupon code to get you 30 free days of Osmo Premium content. That is for all access, all everything, not Fantasy Cruncher, but all everything. The boom bust tools we talk about, the player ownership, the rostership, the player projections, all the good stuff. There's all that and more, plus the Discord and everything there. It's a $90 value, so you're turning your $10 deposit into $90 worth of Osmo and $10 of Yahoo site credit. That's like hitting a GPP on your first day. Check it out. Definitely well worth it. All right, we are on to power forward here, Pete. I'm handing the baton over to you. At the top here, we've got Tobias Harris, Pascal Siakam, question mark with OG and Obi, and we've talked about him almost every position. Now let's just, we'll be silent on him at one of his actual positions. Draymond Green, reasonably priced. Kevin Love on the back-to-back after recovering from COVID and / injury. I don't know that we'll see him tonight. But then we got Kyle Kuzma, Jaren Jackson Jr., Keldon Johnson. Interesting option there. What do you like here? No gigantic names popping out aside from a Harris or a Siakam.
Yeah, agreed. I really like Tobias Harris at the top at 8,800. Obviously, it's expensive, but you talk about Philly needing somebody to really provide some offense. And, you know, Tobias Harris was relatively disappointing in his previous outing against Utah, went 4 of 9 from the field, only scored 29 fantasy points, but that was in 27 minutes. They basically got decimated from the early going against Utah. They ended up losing 85-120. So obviously you don't want to really harp on that poor performance too much, but the same could happen here. But I think what could somewhat make this game competitive is how both sides are dealing with massive, massive injuries. So that could possibly negate the chance of a blowout. So 8,800 definitely warranted for Tobias Harris. I just like him. We have seen flashes of brilliance when he's on. 35 minutes against Indy, he scored 51 and a quarter fantasy points, scored 32 actual points, 11 rebounds. He's a solid rebounder, and I think that he's going to be able to score on this Denver unit. Pascal Siakam, easily my second favorite option here at power forward. We talked about OG and all this stuff about Toronto, and I just like Pascal. He's one of my favorite players to watch. And I don't know, sometimes like you just get behind a certain guy, get behind a player that has won you a ton of money over the years. And Pascal is one of these guys. So Siakam, anytime I can roster him, I definitely have some bias towards him. I think Draymond Green's interesting. 6,700. Will they provide both the veterans with a day off and just let the younger guys try to take over Cleveland? And that's a possibility. Or does a strong leader in Draymond Green lead the young unit into a victory? So if that's the case at 6,700, I like Draymond Green, boosted usage, boosted role, mainly just there to facilitate in different ways. But Draymond Green's that nice at 6,700. Kevin Love and basically the entire Cleveland Cavs look just absolutely too expensive for me. And I just don't like the game environment for them facing one of the best teams in the league. I don't know. They're banged up. I get it. There's not too many rotating pieces, but Kevin Love at 6,600, easily my fade. I'm not getting to him, and I don't even know if he's going to play. You spoke about it, and I definitely agree with it. Kelvin Johnson against Minnesota is always interesting. I think that he's one of the most inconsistent and frustrating players, and with a frustrating player, you definitely gain some leverage on the field, because if people have some animosity towards a player for burning some money, they're not going to want to roster him week in and week out. But at 6,300, Kelvin Johnson coming off a relatively disappointing performance, 24 and a quarter points against the Clippers in 33 minutes. He went 4 of 9 from the field, but previously against the Lakers, he went 9 of 18 from the field and scored 36 and a half fantasy points. It was the DeJounte Murray show the other night. So, it's tough to really just, you know, harp on that performance. But I mean, outside of that, the two cheap options that I thought could be interesting, and it was for me watching the Brooklyn game the other night, it's Otto Porter as a extremely cheap dart throw, who actually played 17 minutes the other night, had 6 rebounds, 6 points, doesn't really look like he provided at anything at all, if you're just kind of box score watching. But I do think in a game like this, he could actually get some more run. But it's also Kuminga. And Kuminga is a guy that is extremely cheap at 3,000. And in his past 3 games, he has scored 16.5, 21 and a quarter, and 10.75 points. If he's asked to step up at all, and you want to try to like get two of these studs, a Paul George and a Jokic or something in your lineups, you could look to a cheap player like this. But this is all, you know, revolving around the Steph Curry, Draymond Green, all that, you know, Golden State news of possibly, you know, sitting some of their starters. So we'll have to see. But yeah, I mean, the power forward position, it's nice at the top, kind of ugly in the middle, and there's some intriguing cheap pieces.
All right, I was just mucking around here to see how, so we get over to center, I wanted to see how Nikola Jokic had been doing against Andre Drummond. The answer is, Andre Drummond is not going to be an issue tonight. The last three times they've played with 3 different teams for Andre, Lakers, Cleveland, and I forget the other one because I've already gone out of that page. But Jokic has like 58, 47, and 80 fantasy points. Now, the 80 fantasy points was in a 40-minute game, so we're going to set that one aside. But Jokic is right up there with Giannis Antetokounmpo for most fantasy points per game. He's averaging 55.5 Yahoo fantasy points per game, leading the team in like every category and second in steals or something crazy like that. But he's literally just setting close to career highs across the board. And if it's not a career best, it is something that is behind only last season when he had his breakout. So he's someone at the top that I think we're going to want to make a centerpiece of a lot of lineups. You've got Karl Anthony Towns coming down a little bit here. Good matchup for him, especially with no Jakob Poeltl going against the Spurs. I think he's okay. I don't dislike Drummond in this one, but there are better options, better times to play Drummond. And this has nothing to do with him coming off a poor game where he only played 12 minutes against Utah and just was worked over. I don't think he's tired. I don't think he's worn out. He's 29 years old. Come on. Let's not think this is wearing him out by any stretch. Gobert, somewhat interesting. He should have his way against the Toronto front court. And then as we get to the lower spots here, you've got Steven Adams doing battle with Ivica Zubac. You've got Daniel Gafford in the mix there a little bit. Let's just not play Daniel Gafford. And then you got Drew Eubanks, who's there. Drew Eubanks and Thaddeus Young seem to be matchup based, based upon whomever is going to end up closing out games. And that, if you can suss that out, and I think in this one it's going to be Eubanks going against Karl-Anthony Towns, if they choose to go big, that's where these guys are getting the edge over the other. That's worth about 5 to 6 minutes, and that's the difference maker from them getting something in the low 20 fantasy points to having a chance for 30 fantasy points, and that's a big difference here. What do you like at center as we wrap things up?
Yeah, I think what you just said is perfect. Recognizing what coaches are doing and why will definitely help you with your rotations and trying to figure out which players on which nights you want to get to. Love Jokic, love Towns. The Bam Adebayo news is interesting. I feel like he will end up suiting up against Washington. It's interesting. I probably don't love him, but priced at 8,400 is definitely fair. Drummond, I'll be probably underweight to him. I don't hate him here, but I'm also just worried about anybody going up against Jokic. I know that they're going to need to be on the court a lot, but I feel like they're just going to struggle constantly. Rudy Gobert is coming off a strong game, priced at 8,000, just scored 47 and a quarter fantasy points, went 6 of 10 from the field, 17 rebounds. His rebounding rate has been absolutely on fire this year. And Pascal Siakam, solid. Don't hate it. Draymond Green, don't hate it at all. Kevin Love, I'm staying away. Montrezl Harrell, spark off the bench. Okay, interesting. That will largely depend on if Bam's in play, because if Bam's in play, I do feel like they want to get somebody out there to somewhat match, even though Harrell just get posterized. Steven Adams, I like. I do like him at 4,600 against LA. I think that's an interesting piece. Obviously, his offensive production is always minimal, usually under 8 shots a game. Coming off a 21-minute performance, he scored 17.7, but the game before that, in 37 minutes, scored 41.75 points against the New Orleans Pelicans. So I think as long as LA has either Hartenstein or Zubac out there, then you will see Adams out there, and priced under 5,000 makes a ton of sense. Kevon Looney's a guy that if Draymond Green were to sit for whatever reason, I would be interested, especially if a guy in Jared Allen is active. Lots of ifs, lots of news to pay attention to, but priced at 3,600, we have seen Kevon Looney explode with one big game this year on the 10th against Minnesota. He had 17 rebounds, 11 points, scored 40.75 points, but in that 20, that 15 to 25 range is more likely his outcome. So it's an interesting position, but I'll have a really hard time getting away from Jokic or Towns at top. And I just feel like if you're chasing the value at this position, there's probably better spots to do it.
All right, that is going to wrap it up for us. Again, we're starting off tomorrow bright and early. It's going to be Josh Engelman at 6:30 in the morning, where he starts out with the Process Show. We, of course, have several football shows because it is Thursday night football. You will get a college football show pre-recorded video on demand that'll be posted around lunchtime. And then we get back into the full swing with the Yahoo Thursday night preview. You've got the Prize Picks Thursday night preview. You've got what else do we have there? The Deeper Dive and Live Before Lock for NBA. We're loaded. We've got about 9 hours of live YouTube and another 4.5 hours of video on demand. It is a busy day here at Osmo. Please do hit the like button on your way out of here and subscribe. We're almost at 66,000 here. Wow. Be pretty cool to get that on our watch. You're going to get us for another day or two, and then you're not going to see us for a long time because Rinpak and Eric Lindquist, who, the newly married Eric Lindquist, have a lot of making up to do for all of these shows we've been covering for. But it's been a pleasure thus far. You can follow me on Twitter at EmacDFS. You can follow Pete at PeteTheHeatMMA. And of course, it is Osimo_COM. With that, gamers, good luck.